Welcome to another episode of Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. I'm going to be with you for the next half an hour. Today on the show, part two of a three-part interview with Alex Saunders, aka Justin Too Deep, a local drag king performer. And later on in the show, I'll be giving out some resources for people who are out there listening who may identify as LGBTQ+ and are looking for help in the form of hotlines or for local community groups to get involved with and also connect with other people in the community. So stick around. This is Queer Radio on Local 107.3 FM. And welcome back to Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm always excited to have you tune in. And if you're on Facebook, you can find me there at KWIR. That's the phonetical spelling of the word queer. And you can head over there for updates. You can find out what's coming up on the current week's program. I also will list all the resources that I will list later on in the show, so you can find them there as well if you don't have time to write them down when I get to them later. And so this is part two of a three-part interview I did with Alex Saunders, who also goes by the drag king name Justin Too Deep. And Alex and I had a nice long conversation, which worked into three episodes of Queer, and we talk about drag culture, and we talk about some of the things that go on in drag culture. There's some quirky questions I ask Alex, and there's some more sort of history and what drag means, and we also get into a bit of talk about gender, which we will kick off today with a little bit of talk about gender expression and gender identity and sexuality within the drag culture community. And I think you'll find it quite fascinating. As I mentioned last week, I really had my eyes open to drag culture in general. And it's not that I resisted it before. It's just that maybe I didn't have a very good understanding of it or a good grasp on what it all meant. And Alex has really opened my eyes. And Alex, if you're out there listening, thank you for being so insightful and lovely. And I think we'll head over to the second part of this three-part interview with Alex Saunders. And I will be back shortly with some resources for you if you're out there identifying as queer and are looking for resources or local community groups to get connected with. So I'll be back. Enjoy part two of an interview with Alex Saunders. I was fascinated to learn that there are lots of different types of people who engage in drag culture as well. Lesbians, gay men, transgender people, straight people, genderqueer people. It makes me think that the world of drag is kind of like the ultimate playground, if you will, for gender and sexual expression. Do you think that's an accurate statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, a lot of drag queens end up discovering that they're trans through drag. Specifically, I can think of at least three, and I can keep using RuPaul's Drag Race as an example, but there's examples with people I know in Halifax as well, so more local, but I'm trying to keep it general. So there's at least three, maybe even five different queens that have gone through the Drag Race kind of thing and then realized that they were trans afterwards, like Carmen Carrera, who is kind of, as far as I can tell from what I read online, big in the trans community, and she stands up for a lot of trans rights and everything, was Carmen Carrera on RuPaul's Drag Race and eventually did transition. So I feel it gives people the ability to explore their own selves in a way that they wouldn't before. Because if you think about it, like, drag performers and people who do drag, and maybe it's not around here, maybe it's just in bigger cities, but they used to be, at least now not specifically sure about drag kings, just because mm-hmm. there are so few of us around here. Mm. But they were kind of the social pariahs of like the gay world, like specifically right. on the, I guess, drag queens and the male side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you be with a drag king or queen? Why would you blah, 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 blah. And for like drag kings, I used to get a lot of, do you want to be a man?
Right,
and,
right.
you know, why would you do that? Do you have like a secret urge to be right. a man? And it's like, well, not really. I just kind of like, I like dressing up.
Yeah.
It's fun to me. Yeah. I like exploring Justin because it's fun to me. It lets mm-hmm. me know more about my own self, just as Alex, as opposed to Justin.
Right.
I talked myself out again. I gotta stop doing
it. No, it's great. All this information is great, and I'm sure our listeners are loving it as well. Now, to sort of turn the conversation a little more serious, several years ago, as you know, there were some derogatory words or slurs that were floated out in conversations about transgender people, specifically. I'm thinking of the example of RuPaul using a few mm-hmm. words in their show, and I'm wondering how you feel we can overcome like the sensitivity of those words, or if it's even possible. And like, it seems that some people embrace these words while others find them problematic, but regardless, it seems like the spirit of drag culture is to be like inclusive to everyone. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I recall what we refer to in the Superfan RuPaul's Drag Race community as T-gate.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that it's that whole, I don't think that initially when the show first came out, the whole you've got was mm-hmm. meant to reflect that
mm-hmm.
Or to be derogatory. And it was one of those things that was more of an, not necessarily an accident. It was based on old patterns of thinking from before, I guess transgender visibility became a thing.
Right.
Because that has kind of, it has gone from very quiet and I never really heard about it a whole lot before to all of a sudden now everybody is standing up and saying, listen, this is not right. We are here. Know that we exist. Mm-hmm. And everyone was kind of, it's kind of like back before, I guess you could say, being gay was really not really a thing, but mm-hmm. before you heard about it on the radio and the news and before mm-hmm. people stood up and said, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And they did end up changing it, which I thought was very good. RuPaul is kind of strong-headed sometimes, I find.
Yeah.
And she did have a couple of not so positive things to say, but
yeah.
I don't feel it had anything to do with like a dislike or a negative opinion of trans people. She's like an old person set in their ways, and they're like, well, this was okay for me to say when I was younger, so why are you telling me I can't say it
mm-hmm,
now?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's sort of along the lines, if we're talking about derogatory words, there's only one other word that comes to mind mm-hmm. that I can think of to compare mm-hmm. it to, which is a
mm-hmm.
yeah I'm sure you guys can figure it out. You're smart.
Yeah.
You're smart. And people, it was okay at one point in time, but now it's become not okay. So instead of spending our time complaining about how, oh, well, I can't say this one word anymore, how about you just don't say it?
Yeah, yeah.
And with such a high, I won't even say high, like I honestly don't know what the rate of drag performers that end up finding out they're trans is,
mm-hmm.
but with more and more people finding out that they're trans people, it's something that we should take into consideration and just like get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't just, there's no, I don't feel any one, well, just one group of people, but you know, they're those crazy people that end up in, you know, the woods with crosses and burning and weird stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. Those
mm-hmm.
awful, awful people.
Mm-hmm.
That hold on to these old archaic words like that. And I don't think that changing to a more suitable terminology or even something completely different is bad because it's just, it's getting rid of old ways of thinking and opening it up for the new.
Mm-hmm.
So I, T-Gate was kind of dicey, and it definitely, some things were said by a lot of people that were not, there is a drag queen in California called Tranica Rex, and she used to have a show that she would put on every year, like 26, 27 years, like a really long time, called T-Shack, except with the whole name.
Right, right.
And she was one of the first people to say, okay, let's change the name. She'd been doing a show for 25 years using that same word every year. And if someone can go ahead and take their brand and switch it over so seamlessly, why can't the rest of the world just do that? Because if it offends people, like, okay, here we go. We're getting into a more complicated conversation. So I feel that a lot of people are oversensitive.
Yeah.
If we're going to be topical, Justin Trudeau elbowed some lady in the boob by accident the other day.
I saw that, yeah.
It was an accident. I don't feel like he was... I've heard it described on the radio as molestation. I don't think he was molesting anyone.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, maybe she was angry in the moment. But if you've ever been elbowed on the bus, it's no different.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
feel that's kind of an over-offended thing. Because now people are like, oh, you're so awful. And you're like beating a woman in Parliament and this. Which that isn't at all. But then there's, I don't know, there's people that say things that are purposefully offensive, that hurt people's feelings, that stigmatize their journey and their way of life and just their being in and of themselves. And I think that that's wrong. Mm. But I think you have to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you say that, you know, the T word is a word you should be able to say all the time if it stigmatizes and hurts a group of people, not in, as opposed to, oh, you know, you got elbowed in the boob and that offends me.
Yeah.
I think we have a very over-offended culture, and I think that we have to truly look at the things that are really affecting people and zero in on those and get rid of those.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always going to be people out there that say things that push the envelope, like George Carlin, his seven dirty words you can't say on television and stuff like that. That's... like, swear words is one thing, but saying a word that marginalizes a group of people is entirely another, and that's wrong.
Well, it's just interesting because I was reading about RuPaul using the T slur on the show and in their life, I guess. And it got me thinking about the word, which I don't feel comfortable saying on the show, but suffice to say it's a slur against transgender people that starts with the letter T and ends with the letter Y. And it's interesting because for me personally, I've said the word to some of my trans friends, and the reaction has been really mixed. Some of my trans friends are like, I can't believe you just said that. And then other of my friends are like, it's almost like we're like reclaiming the word.
That's your word.
In the sense of, as you were saying earlier about the N word. And it's like, so it's such a touchy thing. And I think it's away from the oversensitivity in this case where, or for trans people anyway, that it's like, should we use this word? Or should we get upset with people who use that word, considering that we use it in our conversations? And I don't know, I feel like even with the word trap, there's like some power in that word that I know it's like I wanna say that word sometimes, but I know it's a word that the transgender community isn't crazy about. And but for me it's like almost tough, like empowering. And it's just like such an interesting conversation because it's like there's so much sensitivity there, but there's also this kind of like excitement about it too for me. Like, I want to, it's almost like I know I shouldn't say that word, but I want to, and like sort of embrace it as this sort of powerful thing.
I think you should.
But I mean, I guess if I say it to people, they're going to think, oh, she said it, so it's okay for me to say it. Well, and then there's that where that gray area is, where it's like,
as white people, we're not allowed to say a certain word,
right?
But they're allowed to use it. I guess they use it as a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the T word is any different. That's like, I'm not a trans person. I'm cisgendered, maybe even gender fluid. Like, mm-hmm. I certainly have my moments of being more masculine versus feminine, and that's not even including drag. Mm-hmm. But that's not my word. That's not like that does not. I can't say it. You can say it.
Yeah.
I can't say it, and it, I think it's there's a lot of words out there that are the same way. There's a word that starts with F, has two G's in it, and ends with a T.
Yeah.
That is for gay males. That is that is their word. If they want to call each other that, as long as it's not in a derogatory sense and it's in a, you know, I'm taking this word back, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. Same thing as when gay men use the word that starts with C and ends in T. I feel as women, that's our word. Like, if I don't get me wrong, I love that word. That is one of my favorite words to say. But it's also one of those words that people just like,
like,
clam right up around. And I think it more has more to do with the actual sounds in the word than the meaning of it, the hard C and the hard T. And anyway, but I just think that there's many groups out there, and we have words that are super duper offensive to us, and we shouldn't, instead of, we should inform, not attack. Mm-hmm. It's super easy in a world where you feel like the whole world disapproves of you to be on the defensive all the time. And if you turn around and you're always defending yourself, and you're not, you know, you're always defending yourself, it's easy to go and be on the defensive all the time. But if you just try to inform and realize that some people are going to remain completely ignorant no matter what you say, then at least the ones that are going to listen to you might take an intelligent perspective on it, instead of saying, oh, this person is freaking out, or this person is being too sensitive, or so on and so forth. So I'm very much a teach, don't defend. I mean, sometimes we need to defend, but, you know, it's understandable that anyone would act that way when they feel like they're always attacked. So.
Yeah. Mm. Great points. So moving away from that and into other areas, beyond performing as Justin Too Deep, are you involved in the St. John LGBTQ plus community in other ways?
I've been really lazy as a younger person, but I have been getting more into the community. I find that our, like, as far as volunteering is concerned, I've always participated in Pride Week every single year, whether it be to showing up to various events and whatnot. We don't have a bar anymore, so I can't really participate in that way, but I do travel to Fredericton a lot to support Boom. I try to get out to marches and whatnot when I can. So I try my best, but to be perfectly honest with you, I am often a very, very lazy person, and I don't always get out to everything, but I really do try. I wish that our community was a little more close knit, and I don't think it has anything to do with the LGBT community in and of itself. I think, sorry, St. John, it has more to do with St. John. Everybody. And this is, this isn't just LGBT, this is LGBT, this is the nerd and gaming community.
This is the music community.
Every community we've ever been in. Everybody wants to be King Turd of Diarrhea Mountain here. Everybody fights to be the top person. They want to say, oh, that scene, I know this person specifically because they're on the very top of it. And it's not specific to any one scene. It is all of them. And
no,
it's
I agree.
St. John.
Yeah.
It is literally just St. John. And I wish that people would stop fighting to be the best or be the most recognized or be the top of the pile and just come together for the sake of coming together and sharing mutual interests and lifestyles and whatnot. I'm very much, I suppose you could say, a hippie in that aspect. Like, I'm involved with a, I'm a cosplayer as well, which is, it's a was created in Japan. It's comprised of two words, costume and play. So if you ever see stormtroopers or crazy chick with like alien tentacles coming out of her head or whatever at any sort of event, that's me and my friends. And, you know, for years there was just so much fighting, and then finally a group decided to get together and hold a convention. And, you know, it just ended up devolving into infighting, and all of a sudden, bam, gone. And like, you know, now I can't even like go on and like, I started a group called St. John Cosplayers. And I put a big disclaimer at the top. This is not an official group. This isn't like a club. There's no president. There's no treasurer. I don't care what you do. This is just a message board for like-minded people to share their interests. And I got accused of starting a group because whatever. And I'm like,
that's
why?
That's so frustrating.
Why? I just want to hang out with you. I just want to get to know you. If I don't know you, if I don't know you already, then I want to know you. And if I know you already and I don't really talk to you, I want to talk to you more. I want to talk about the things that make me happy and passionate. And in St. John, like, even with it, like, we can't hold a gay bar together to save our lives. I don't know why. Like, now I get it. I get it. Not everybody can go to the bar every weekend or whatever. Right, right. But at least, like, try and support your bar. Don't go, I recognize the value of pre-drinking, but you should pre-drink to the point where you're maybe just a little buzzed and then finish off your drunk at the bar to give them some money so that you have a place to go have fun and dance with like-minded people. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I personally don't like, and no offense, dance clubs in St. John. Not that there's a whole heck of a lot of them. But I never was really into the St. John bar scene because I just, like, there was nothing at all attractive to me about going to Cougars and just having these, just, I don't want to say regular people because we're all regular people, but like having the 20 something bar scene where, you know, the guys that are going in there are obviously on the lookout for a piece to take home, and some of the girls are too. And I'm just not, I just want to go and dance. Right. I just want to get up on a riser and shake my butt.
Yeah.
Like that's, and that was every gay bar we've ever had has very much been like that. I remember being 23 years old at Impulse and dancing on the top of the bar like a goddamn fool. That was probably a swear word too. Anyway, but it was just fun. It was a fun thing to do on Saturday nights, and we don't have that anymore. And it makes me very sad that we can't get our community together enough. So I said to myself this year, this is my first year showing up at a Pride meeting. I said, I'm going to go and represent for my small little slice of the community and really make a change. Now, I've also started volunteering with another group, which I feel there isn't enough lady representation in, but the St. John, it used to be called the Wise Men's Club. They have now become more inclusive, and they're the St. John Wise Service Club. But I do a lot with them now too. I like my dad was a member, and then I joined, and I've really been getting into it, and I'm really feeling, I don't know what it is about 30, or wait, I don't know what it is about 29 for the second time, but there's just something about me. I want to feel part of that community. I feel a part of the LGBT, I don't know all the letters, there's so many. Q+ community in Fredericton. I know tons of people in Fredericton. I go up there for shows all the time. My 3-4, how many of them are there? There's like 5-6 queens in Fredericton that I see at least once a month because I go up there for shows and whatnot. I go to have fun. And these are the people that I feel are part of my community because I see them so often and we have this kind of bond. In fact, next weekend I'm going away with three of them and my best friend to Montreal to see the RuPaul's Drag Race Battle of the Seasons tour. And there's nothing I will enjoy more than being stuck in a van with 85 suitcases, three drag queens, myself and my friend. And I'm just so excited to be a part of that, but I can't do that here because we are so standoffish.
Well, yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with you. And I've experienced that in the kink community. I've experienced it in the music community and to some extent within the trans community. And I totally agree with you. People need to stop trying to be the masters of these various scenes and just be cool with each other. And I think it's like, this is what I'm kind of trying to do with like the radio show and with like trying to get involved with like the UBU trans support group and with St. John Pride. It's like, I'm trying to be that sort of, I'm sort of like swooping in from behind as like a quiet voice, but like a supportive and like trying to bring people together. And I'm hoping like in my own little way that through this show, creating space for voices to get heard. In some ways, like I'm being a leader, yep. but I'm not being a showboat. And I think that's where in this community, and that's, I'm generalizing, but I think I agree with you. That's, there's a lot of that going on, and it's very frustrating. And that was part two of a three-part interview I conducted with Alex Saunders, aka Justin Too Deep, a local St. John drag king performer. And I hope you enjoyed part two of this three-part interview. I think the information is very interesting, and Alex has some great insight into drag culture. Now, as usual, every Monday, I give out resources, that is hotlines and also times and addresses for local LGBTQ plus support groups. And so I'm going to give you a few numbers and an address and time for at least one support group meeting. And if you're out there and identifying as LGBTQ plus and you're struggling, you need some answers, you need someone to talk to, or you're just looking to connect with the community, I'm going to give you some of those answers right now. And so if you're out there identifying as transgender and you need help, please call 877-330-6366. And that number is there. I believe all of the operators that take the phone calls are transgender themselves, so they know what you're going through and can offer some great expert advice. So please call that if you're struggling, 877-330-6366. PFLAG in Canada, which is Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, although that is their old acronym, they kept the acronym, and they are now open to, obviously, everybody in the LGBTQ plus community. So if you want some general help or some answers, you can call 888-530-6777, extension 555. And their French hotline, PFLAG French hotline, is 888-530-6483. There's also a PFLAG gender identity support hotline, which is 888-530-6777, extension 226. And if you didn't have time to write down all of those numbers, you can go to the PFLAG website, which is pflag.ca, and that's spelled PFLAG.ca. And you can find all those numbers I just said on their website as well. The UBU Transgender Support Group, which takes place in St. John on the third Friday of each month, will take place on the 17th of June, coming up next week, and that takes place at the Coburg Health Center on Coburg Street, and it starts at 7 o'clock and it runs for about an hour and a half. And that is a transgender support group for not only transgender people but also for their family, friends, and allies. So we welcome you to come out to that meeting as well. There is a PFLAG St. John chapter. However, their last meeting took place last Friday. They take the summer off, but starting in September, they will start back up again on the first Friday of every month. So I guess if you were looking to get some help from PFLAG, just go to their website and use their address and phone number there. Thank you for tuning into Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. Join me again next Monday from 2 until 2:30 p.m. for the third and final part of my interview with Alex Saunders, a.k.a. Justin Too Deep. Be safe and be kind to one another. And if you need help, please reach out for it. You're not alone. And if you didn't have a chance to write down those phone numbers, I'm going to post them on my Facebook page, which is KWIR on Facebook. Queer. That's the phonetical spelling of the word queer. Thanks for tuning in again. Be well, and I will talk to you again next Monday. Bye.